from the studios of WAER.
And he's standing up into the goal line. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle gets a screen, pull up, he's good. Tyus Battle from 20 feet, and with 2.5 on the clock, Syracuse leads by one.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside. He scores the game winner. Give the assist to Don Madonna. Syracuse wins 11-10.
Comes the Ostrom Avenue podcast.
To Boeheim, quick trigger three from the top. He knocks it down, and we're tied at Spectrum Center.
15 left. He shoots and scores. Tucker Dornovic.
Perhaps the biggest upset in program history comes on Friday the 13th.
And now, your hosts, Brendan Mortensen and Owen Valentine.
Welcome into another edition of the Ostrom Avenue podcast. It is October 23rd. I'm your host, Brendan Mortensen, alongside Owen Valentine. The last few weeks, we've been on the more negative side of things with Syracuse football for good reason. Dropped below 500 with that loss to Pittsburgh, now sitting at 3-4. But we're trying to stay on the positive today.
Yeah, it's ugly. I won't lie. And a lot of the faith in Syracuse football, for me at least, is out the door. But, you know, sometimes it's nice to try and maybe restore that faith by looking at the couple of positives that have been lingering for Syracuse. So it's going to be a fun one for me to at least, you know, change the perspective that is deeply ingrained in my head right now about how bad this team is, and take a couple of minutes, maybe 40 minutes, and talk about a positive aspect of the team, which should be fun.
Positive aspects are nice. That's what we're trying to do today. We're looking at wide receiver Tristan Jackson.
Yeah.
He's been good.
Yeah.
We're looking at Jackson. We're looking at the recent success of Syracuse wide receivers under Dino Babers. We're looking at Jackson, Ahmed Atao, Jamal Custis, guys like that who have really shined in this Syracuse system. And this year it's the Michigan State transfer that's really getting that spotlight on him.
Heaves it down the far sideline. He's got a man open. It's Jackson. He makes the catch at the one and dives into the end zone.
DeVito claps his hands, takes the snap on first and 10, fires down the near sideline. He's got Tristan Jackson, slips out of a tackle, across the 10, up to the 5, and he tiptoes into the end zone for a Syracuse touchdown.
Ball at the 2-yard line, it's first down and goal. DeVito in the gun, Adams the running back. He's got the snap, throws, end zone, caught. Tristan Jackson, his 6th touchdown in 6 games.
He wasn't too successful at Michigan State, really was not too big of a factor on there. A bit of a role player, only got a couple of catches, I think under 10 catches per season in his first 2 years over there. But came to Syracuse, played in the Camping World Bowl, and did not have too bad of a little performance there to start things off and kind of preview what this season could be. And then this year he's performed pretty well, and he's kind of become the guy, something that Syracuse has had year in and year out under the Dino Babers head coaching era.
There's always been supplemental guys, like you've got Taj Harris, Nykeem Johnson, Sean Riley, Aaron Hackett, but there's always been that one guy that's always the go-to, and this year's Tristan Jackson. Not a fantastic performance against Pitt, but still, 5 receptions, 76 yards. Mm-hmm. Could have had a lot more on that first play of the game, where I know we dropped that pass over the middle. That could have been a long touchdown to start the game off, but hey, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
No.
Everybody's human. Forgive him for that one. But throughout this year, he's been far and away the best performer on the field. 38 receptions, 575 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah. He could be on track to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he's a little below the pace right now, but when you consider the fact that he was basically a non-factor at Liberty for 3 receptions, 21 yards, I don't think Dino Babers, I don't think Syracuse knew what they had in this guy quite yet. And then ever since then, I mean, he's really popped off in every single game, excluding Clemson, where nobody on the offensive end really had anything going for him. So you won't shame him for that one. 2 receptions, 16 yards against Clemson, but the rest of his season, he has been very solid. He's just kind of the guy that you can rely on and toss the ball up to, and you can target him early. He's able to get open quickly and open early in the route, so he's a good option for DeVito when he's pressured. And, you know, Syracuse has had that consistent presence, the one guy that you can rely on, and it takes a little bit of a weight off of the shoulders of a quarterback who's struggling, and even though when everything else doesn't seem like it's going right, the DeVito to Jackson connection seems like it's been lingering on and on throughout the season.
And when you go back and watch him throughout the season, What's impressed me maybe the most about Jackson is that I don't think he's a better athlete than guys like Taj Harris. He's not the most explosive guy on the field. He's just a really good route runner, and he knows how to get open. Some wide receivers just have a knack for things like that, of just being able to run those routes really crisply, being able to find soft spots in the back of the defense, and that's what he does really, really well, and he does it consistently. I mean, even on plays where, you know, we see the drops, we see things like that, but those really haven't hindered him that much because he's a really good fundamental wide receiver, and that's what's been so consistently good about Jackson. And it's been a little different about him from the wide receivers of the past for Syracuse in the last few years. When you look at guys like Custis and Editawo and Steve Ishmael, I mean, those guys were just huge.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were just big physical threats. But now you've got a guy like Tristan Jackson who he's not the biggest guy in the world.
6'1", 190.
Right, but he'll still beat you down the field.
Yeah.
Even though he's not faster than everybody else on the field. He's just a consistently good route runner, and he will consistently get open for Tommy DeVito. And in an offense that has been struggling, hasn't had that great of a running game, and DeVito's been pretty shaky here and there, it's so vitally important to have a guy like Tristan Jackson that you can consistently turn to try to pick up first downs.
You know, for me, you kind of hit upon the bulk of it there, but to put it simply, he does his job, and he is very understanding of there's only so much that you can control on every single play, especially when the offense has looked as poor as it has throughout the season. He does what he can. He gets open. He catches the ball the majority of the time. Yes, he's got a couple of drops. You mentioned the one at Pitt to start the game that I do think would have been a touchdown. But when you look at what he does, he just gets open. He does what he needs to do to put his team in the best position from his position. So as the receiver on the outside, you don't have that much impact on the majority of the plays. But when you're making the most of the routes to get open to help your quarterback out, you're doing everything that you can in your power to benefit a team that needs everything to go in its favor in order to win football games down the stretch. So this is the guy that Syracuse is going to need to rely on. Hopefully he can continue to succeed for the Orange when there's going to be such a defensive emphasis on locking him down and preventing him from getting open, maybe double coverage, stuff like that. There will be a zone read over there towards him. But what he's got to continue to do is just do what he can. And whatever is in his power, whatever he can feasibly do, which I've seen him do throughout the season so far, he's done what he can to create every additional opportunity, every throwaway ball, just to give DeVito a chance at a completion, to be that guy. Because when you, as a quarterback, I feel like we always end up back to DeVito in the quarterback situation, but when you don't have enough time to get through your entire progression, Jackson's the number one option the majority of the time, and for him to be open pays dividends for Syracuse in the receiving game, in the passing game. Because when that first option is open and you can salvage yards on busted plays and when the O-line breaks down, that's the only thing that Syracuse can get going for him in those situations.
And I mentioned it a few times during the game on Friday, but I said the only way, or maybe not the only way, but the most effective way, in my opinion, to combat an aggressive defensive line and blitzing linebackers for Pittsburgh is to get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible. And the way that you're going to do that in a college system, if you're a guy like Tommy DeVito, is before the play starts, you'll have an idea in your head of who your first read is going to be.
Yeah.
You do that on any play. You're saying, all right, here's, I'm going to go through my progression. I've got my first read here, second read here, third read here. When you're behind the Syracuse offensive line, which is literally the worst in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it. What week was our podcast about the offensive line? Week four?
Maybe week three, I think.
And at that point, we were talking about how bad the Syracuse offensive line was in terms of, they're in the bottom third in the country in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
They're literally the worst. They have given up more sacks than any offensive line in the nation. Division I, FBS, FCS, whatever. The Syracuse offensive line has given up the most sacks.
They have allowed 25 sacks in their three ACC games. That is 8.3 sacks per game.
That's
against
a lot.
8 against Clemson, 9 against Pitt, and then 8 in the third matchup. I forget who they play. It's not coming back to me.
Pittsburgh?
No, Pitt. And then
NC
who was,
State.
NC State, yes. Yeah. 8 sacks against NC State, or allowed against NC State. So 8, 8, and 9 is terrible. And they're just, I don't even think those sacks are representative of how bad the team has played. Yes, that's an alarming number, but there could be more. I mean, Clayton Welch came in against Pitt and escaped so much. And there could have been more. He got sacked 3 times. Right. DeVito got sacked 6 against Pitt. But what can save you, to bring it back to the topic today, is a guy like Tristan Jackson who can get open and can be that initial option that, oh no, the pocket's collapsed again. Let's throw this quick out. Let's find him because I know that he can get open. I know he can do his job, and I know that he's pretty tough in coverage and he can make catches that are a little bit tough. And if he can't, he's going to make sure that the defender does not catch that football. So he's going to do what you need to do. He's a great option. Instead of throwing the ball 3 feet into the stand or 3 rows into the stands, you can throw to him because he's going to fight and he's going to win that battle.
And that's what I was talking about before with Tommy DeVito, is when you have those plays and you know in your head what your first read is going to be, mm-hmm. a lot of times your first read is Tristan Jackson.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely massive to have a guy like that where you can drop back, the pocket is collapsing, and you say, all right, I just got to dump it to my first read. Because yeah. that's the play call, and I'm just going to bank on the fact that my first read is getting open. And most of the time, it's Tristan Jackson. We know Taj Harris is a great deep threat. We know Sean Riley and Nykeem Johnson can be effective in the slot. But when you have a number one wide receiver on the outside that you can consistently turn to, that is maybe the biggest help to both Tommy DeVito and to the offensive line. And Syracuse has been incredibly lucky. Maybe not lucky. Maybe it's a product of just how good Dino Babers has turned this system into, to have those number one guys throughout the years,
yeah.
with Amba Edetawo, Jamal Custis, Steve Eshmal, even a guy like Herb Phillips in the slot.
Yeah.
He wasn't your prototypical number one, but he still caught a yeah. ton of footballs.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught up with former WAER sports director, Sean Salisbury. He was here, my freshman and sophomore year, so he saw those guys like Edetawo and Ishmael firsthand. I talked to him a little bit about the importance of having those guys on the Syracuse offense.
Dungy on second down, backs up, fires all the way down the field. Steve Ishmael makes the catch. He drags the defender into the end zone for another Syracuse touchdown.
And now we're joined by former WAER sports director, Sean Salisbury. Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, glad to talk.
So what we're talking about this week is the emergence of Tristan Jackson and how good he's been in this Dino Babers system as the wide receiver one in this offense. While you were here, you had some big-time playmakers that you got to watch in Amba Edetawo and Steve Ishmael. Can you talk a little bit about those guys and the impact that they had on the Syracuse offense?
Yeah, it was certainly something that fans weren't expecting to see, especially Edetawo when he came in. You knew he had some numbers, but when the guy transfers in, you never know what that fit's going to be, even in a Dino Babers-type offense. And I think what really helps any guy who's, you know, slot guy, outside receiver, doesn't matter, they get every single chance in practice to go into a game and know, hey, I'm going to get ample chances to make some big-time plays, either down the field or, you know, with my feet in space. And it has just really shown that out of nowhere, guys can pop up and be very productive in this offense. And I think it's just been that trend these last couple of years, like you said, with Edetawo, and also Steve Ishmael was another big guy later in his Syracuse career. And also Irv Phillips, who was great throughout his 4 years, but also was right around the 1,000-yard mark his senior year. So I think it's just a testament to what the offense allows playmakers to do, and it really leaves it open-ended where if guys can fight and find space, they're going to put up some big numbers.
Do you think it was, here's some really talented wide receivers who are happening to work in this Dino Babers offense, or do you think it was more a product of, here's this really good Dino Babers offense, if you're a talented enough receiver, Dino Babers and, you know, whoever's at quarterback, whether it's Dungy, DeVito, whoever, will make sure that you put up these good numbers because that's just how the offense is going to run around you?
Yeah, I'd have to think it's more of an 80-20 relationship, because you have to look back and remember some of the teams Dino Babers coached. Obviously down at Baylor, he was with Josh Gordon, and back at UCLA, he had some big-time teams there where they won 10 games in 2005, and his quarterback finished top 10 in the Heisman voting. And also everything Baylor did when he was there. And also, he coached Jimmy Garoppolo up in Illinois. And then, obviously, his emergence at Bowling Green led him to his job now at Syracuse. So you have to look at that and take it with a little grain of salt that he's now getting some better athletes at Syracuse. And although the competition is much tougher, he's starting to, I think, kind of like a chess match, line up his pieces and see, okay, what can we do to give these guys the ball, or what are they doing that we can work with so that they can post these numbers? Because I think it's all in what he's seen in two-plus decades of coaching. And as a former defensive back himself, I think he just has a really good mind for the game, and all of his mentors that have helped prepare him to usher in an offense that is good on posting numbers.
And looking at Edetawo and Ishmael specifically while you were here, what do you think made them so effective? Was it just the fact that they were just pure athletes and they could just outrun people? Was it their route running? What was it specifically about them, in your opinion, that made them so successful?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they could just get open. I mean, there were some great throws. I remember Amba's first game. He had a couple of big touchdowns. And it threw everybody off guard, at least in our studio, because we're flipping through the roster trying to find things on this guy, because he wasn't really expected to contribute all that much. And even you look back a year ago, Brendan, Jamal Custis came in and was a big-time contributor because of his size, kind of like Amba and Steve Ishmael as well, you know, standing in at 6 foot. But it's just that, okay, these guys can get open, and they made great plays down the field where when he was putting one-on-one coverage, Dungy more often than not was putting some nice balls into some spots only his receiver could get. And in that type of offense too, where, you know, Orange is the new fast, they want to run as many plays as they can. You remember the highlights more than some of the possessions that got stuck in the mud and you had to punt.
And when you look at the record books for Syracuse wide receivers, obviously there's the big names for Syracuse that have put up ridiculous numbers throughout the years with guys like Marvin Harrison, Alec Lemon. But you look at the record books and you see a lot of 2016, 2017, 2018, and Tristan Jackson could be making his way there as well. He's already climbing the ranks in terms of single-season receiving yards, single-season touchdowns, things like that. Why do you think those wide receiver ones have been so effective under Dino Babers? What is it about this offense that just lets those wide receivers thrive?
Yeah, because, I mean, imagine this, if you are 17, 18, 19-year-old, whether you're finishing high school or just starting college, you know that, hey, if I can get on the field, I'm going to get so many chances to make catches. And not to say that it's a selfish offense, but if you're that age, you want the ball, right? You want to go show out. You want to go score touchdowns. And I think it's a very attractive offensive style. Now, when you got to put in the work and then continue throughout the length of a season, I think it's pretty impressive, like you were saying, what he's done this year for Syracuse, because now once you start drawing the attention, you're getting the best defensive back covering you, and then you're getting help from either a linebacker or a safety. You have to start getting a lot more creative, and I also think that's just kind of that alpha dog mentality. Dino Babers has had a wide receiver just about every year he's been at Syracuse where he says, okay, if we need somebody to come up with a catch here, we know who we're going to, and we're going to draw up something that's favorable to our offense versus the opponent's defense. So it's just that combination again of, yeah, guys have been really good, but like you were saying, not that, you know, they're not successful in the NFL or have a future pro career. Marvin Harrison was, you know, a one in a thousand guy, one in a million guy, whatever you want to use to describe him, because he, even today, I mean, he had Peyton Manning as his quarterback, but some of the things Marvin Harrison did in his pro career were exceptional and really second to none when you look at the history of the NFL in that time where it wasn't as a pass-happy league. Now you get to today's game where it's been totally flipped over on its head because you have all these spread offenses and you need 3, 4, 5 wide receivers to put up, you know, big numbers and come up with all these catches. So it's a little bit of both. Like, guys are also, you know, you're running a lot more pass plays, and I think Syracuse's ground game too, and the fact that they've been trailing a lot this year has helped them boost the pass numbers. But, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt with all these things.
And you mentioned the running game there. Usually when you've got a spread offense, the spread offense is going to be complemented by a good zone running game. And Syracuse really hasn't had much of that this year. They've got two effective running backs in Mo'Neal and Abdul Adams, but they really haven't gotten off the ground in terms of rushing numbers. Syracuse is 0-4 this year when they rush for less than 100 yards. Do you think that this, you know, looking at it from a different perspective, do you think that this kind of offense where you're consistently feeding these wide receivers is sustainable throughout an entire season, or do you need the running game to push things up a little more, or is it somewhere in between? You got to find a balance of the two.
But also to play a little bit of devil's advocate, you look at the last couple of games, Brendan, and when you're trailing in the second half at NC State and you're trailing by a few scores against Pitt, you have to throw the ball, right? Because your ground game hasn't been that effective where if you get a loss on first or second down and you put yourself in third and long, what is the defense going to do? They're going to pin their ears back and send seven guys because they know the offensive line has really struggled. And to build off on that, I think that's the number one key as the reason why the run game hasn't been as, not prolific, but I guess sustainable, because you need that blocking up front. You need to create holes for your running back. I don't care if you have, you know, Derrick Henry or you have Mark Ingram, you have all these former Heisman winners in your backfield. You're not going to do much in pushing the pile if your offensive line can't give you time to at least be a little bit more creative.
Sean, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, hope I helped. You guys are doing a great job launching this podcast. We're all really proud of you and look forward to see what you guys do with it.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate that.
Dungy takes the snap. Second and six. Fakes the handoff. Looking left. Fires downfield. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Amba Edetawo once again finds pay dirt. And Syracuse up 13-0 early on.
Thanks so much again to Sean Salisbury for joining us. And let's start with the big man from 2016, Amba Edetawo. I mean, that dude was just an absolute beast. There's no other way to put it. I mean, you see him in the record books pretty much everywhere for that 2016 season.
Yeah. Basically 1,500 receiving yards. That's unbelievable. It is the all-time record for Syracuse. He averaged 123 yards per game. That's outstanding. He had a single game where he caught 270 receiving yards. There are multiple games this season where Tommy DeVito hasn't thrown for 270 yards. And Amba comes in and receives for 270 yards. He was outstanding. Only 1 year at Syracuse, senior year in 2016. He transferred in from Maryland for a grad year. He was a redshirt senior. And this guy, even though he wasn't that tall, he's 6'2", his jump ball ability was some of the best I've seen in the last decade of Syracuse football. And I think a lot of people can agree. This was just a guy that Eric Dungy could just throw the ball up to. He didn't even have to be that open. As long as he's in single coverage, he had more than a 50% chance of catching the football if it's thrown right. It was just the perfect option for a struggling Syracuse football team, as we talked about earlier with Tristan Jackson. It's the perfect option when you are struggling to be able to have the guy that you know you can trust and you can throw the ball up to, and that's exactly what Amba was. He was, first of all, his burst speed was outstanding, and his hands were great. He was able to get yards after catch. He was everything you wanted out of a wide receiver one, and just to his credit, you look at the Syracuse record books, and his name is painted throughout.
Yeah, and let's look at that a little bit, because the more you look at that 2016 season for Amba Edetawo, the more you think that it might be the best single season by a Syracuse wide receiver ever.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at the record books a little bit. Record for receptions in a single season. Number one is Amba Edetawo with 94 in 2016. Granted, number two is Irv Phillips, also in 2016 with 90, and they are way out in front of everybody else. Yeah. Alec Lemon is in third with 72.
Wow.
So those guys ate up an absurd amount of receptions. So Amba Edetawo, number one for single season receptions. Let's look at single game reception records. Amba Edetawo is number three with 13 against Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He's also number five twice with 12 against Colgate and 12 against UConn.
Yes.
Now when you go to single season reception yards, number one, Amba Edetawo. 1,482 reception yards
in 2016. Single game reception yards. Number one, Ahmed Atawo, 270 against UConn. And by the way, he's also number six with 210 against Colgate.
Yeah.
You thought we were done there? Let's look at career receiving touchdowns. Career. Ahmed Atawo is ninth all time.
And he played one season.
Syracuse. Everybody else on this list played four seasons. Ahmed Atawo played one. And he is ninth all time in reception touchdowns in Syracuse history with 14.
That's the one that hits me the hardest. It's hard to even hit on like how crazy of a year he had. And that just puts it right in perspective. His single season, 14 touchdowns, is top 10 all time in Syracuse
it's
football
six
history.
Less than Marvin Harrison in his entire career.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison.
The all-time wide receiver from Syracuse. Six
the
fewer.
Wide
yeah.
receiver from Syracuse. Single season reception touchdowns, he's tied for first with Tommy Kane with 14.
Mm-hmm.
And single game touchdowns, he's also first with five against Pitt.
Oh.
In that ridiculous Zach Mahoney game.
That game was entertaining.
I think Ahmed Atawo might have the best single season of any Syracuse receiver in history.
Yeah, I don't think that's too hard to talk about. I mean, 14 touchdowns is the single season record, tied for it. And his nearly 1,500 receiving yards is the single season record. So those are the two statistical categories you kind of eye the most, plus the number of receptions, 94, number one all time. The three categories that you focus on for a receiver, he is the single season leader for. So I don't think that's a tough take at all. That is the take. That is the correct take. He had the single greatest season a wide receiver has had at Syracuse University.
And there's so many receivers that are on these record books from the last 4 years. In the top 10 in career receptions, you've got Irv Phillips and Steve Ishmael. Single season receptions, I mentioned before, Irv Phillips is in second. He's also tied for first in single game receptions. I mean, I could keep going through these record books, but you see Ishmael, you see Irv Phillips, you see Custis throughout these record books. And Owen, I'll ask you, is it a product of Eric Dungy and this Syracuse and his ability at quarterback for Syracuse? Or is it a product of the Dino Babers-led offense? Or is it a combination of both?
Well, I think we kind of touched upon this in before the show. It's got to be Dino Babers. I mean, I think it's when you kind of look at the Orange is the New Fast offense and see how quickly you run plays. And we talked about why Jackson was so successful, because as option one, you're the first guy. And when you don't have time, you're going to get the ball. But also when you're playing fast, you want to get it to your first option. You want to get it to that first thought, your first route, and get the ball out, because that's how you play as fast as possible. It's those quick bubble screens. It's what you can then build off of to then get your yards after catch, your deep balls, everything. It all revolves around this wide receiver one, because you're the first target, which means you're getting the ball a ton. And that's why Edetawa's numbers are so incredible, is because he was the first guy under Dino Babers to really be that wide receiver one and just got target after target after target, because that's what you do when you run as many plays as Syracuse has in the Babers era. So to be able to have it kind of becomes that natural progression that every year you're going to get a guy that steps up. And it's not even the guys that you expect coming into the season. I think coming into 2019, I thought Nyheim Johnson was going to be the guy.
I thought Nyheim
And then
Johnson
Tristan Jackson comes out
year.
And just becomes the guy because he performed in the first couple of games. And that's basically all you need to do under Dino Babers is to have a great week one and two. And even for Jackson, he didn't have a good week one, but his week two was great. So you have a couple of good weeks early on in the season, you become wide receiver one, and you end up having a statistically great year because you're the target, play in and play out.
And I don't want to discredit any of the wide receivers on this Syracuse football team by saying they run a bunch of bubble screens. These are not bubble screen receptions for Ahmed Atawo.
Yeah.
During his 2016 year, that dude averaged 16 yards per reception.
Yeah.
So these are not just like, oh, let's get Edetawo involved. He's an athletic dude, and if we get him in space, he'll make something work. He's averaging 16 yards a reception that year. So they are consistently feeding him the football, and they're feeding it to him on big-time routes. And even a guy like Irv Phillips, in his 2016 and 2017 seasons, he's still averaging 10 yards a reception.
Yeah.
So even a guy like that that's more of a slot receiver does work in those bubble screen areas a little bit. He might not have been your prototypical wide receiver one, but you're still looking at him over the middle of the field. He's still picking up those 10-yard gains.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was a huge reason for that Clemson upset.
Yeah,
I agree. Irv Phillips went crazy in that football game. So Syracuse has just always found a way to get these receivers involved.
Yeah.
And it's been a massive product of the Eno Bears.
I cannot attest it even. It's basically when you look at Ambedatau, and I know I kind of just pinned him as a bubble screen guy. That was very misleading. Every touchdown I feel like he scored, unless he caught the ball in the end zone, I feel like he broke a tackle. Like, he was so good after catch. And he was great to catch the ball in the first place, but he was evasive. He has some of the best jukes I've seen a Syracuse receiver have recently, and he was able to just get to the end zone on plays where he had no business gaining any yards after catch. It was probably one of his biggest strengths, in my opinion, that, and as I touched on earlier, his ability to catch that jump ball, but it's kind of set the precedent under Dino Babers that you can have a number one that is going to be the guy. And that's what it was that first year. But year two under Babers with Ishmael being the guy, it opened the door for Irv Phillips. And it allowed him to be that secondary guy that's still going to put up big numbers because you're going to be able to get more targets when the focus is on Ishmael. And so it's something that Syracuse has not necessarily been able to develop this season. But I think last week, even though it was a subpar offensive performance for Syracuse, they finally brought Nykeem Johnson out, and it was kind of like the where is Nykeem Johnson game, and he has a couple of receptions early on, and you kind of revitalize the fact that Syracuse has wide receiver options. So I think down the stretch, even though the offense is struggling, you're going to see that kind of tribute back to 2017 where you had Ishmael and Phillips being that 1-2 punch. I think it could be that same thing with Jackson and Johnson this year. After, you know, it took a little bit, but I think they might be able to get into that rhythm and kind of have that same back and forth where you don't necessarily have the number one, but you just have two guys that are going to be consistently open and consistently targeted. And I think that could be a saving grace for Syracuse.
And I think the record books missed something here from 2017 because I said the single season reception record was Ambedatau with 94. Steve Ishmael had 105 receptions in 2017.
Yeah, I think Amba broke it his year, and then Ishmael broke it the following year.
Ishmael's stats from 2017 were ridiculous.
Yeah.
105 yards, almost 1,400 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns. Those are Edetau numbers.
Yeah.
And even, we're talking a lot about Edetau, about how he consistently broke tackles, things like that.
So did Ishmael.
Ishmael was a great receiver as well. And I don't think, yes, these guys are incredibly talented, but the fact that Dino Babers is able to have almost this next man up mentality of, okay, Edetau's graduated, great, here's Steve Ishmael.
Yeah.
Steve Ishmael graduated, great, here's Jamal Custis.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are just consistently producing, even if the talent level isn't maybe necessarily there as your prototypical ACC number one receiver, these guys are putting up those kinds of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Ishmael's 2017 season, it can kind of be a blueprint of, okay, we've got other guys like Irv Phillips as well, like you were saying. Here's a guy like Tristan Jackson. Let's pair him with Sean Riley and Nykeem Johnson. So we have that number one threat on the outside. And then you've got not one but two slot guys in the middle that can really make some damage.
The craziest thing to me is that because of how good those two were between Edetau and Ishmael and putting up those record-breaking numbers and back-to-back 1,000-plus yard, like convincingly over 1,000-yard receiving seasons as wide receiver one for Syracuse. Jamal Custis had a great 2018, but his numbers aren't even close to these guys. He comes out, and if you were to say that your wide receiver one plays 13 games for 906 yards and 6 touchdowns, that's a pretty successful season for a wide receiver.
Season.
That's a great season. But when you compare it to the success of those two guys, it doesn't look as good. And it's kind of like Syracuse has just been so successful with that wide receiver one slot in the past couple of years that you need to be a 1,000-plus yard receiver with close to 10 touchdowns to be the guy. it's something that's pretty astounding and something that is one of Dino Babers' kind of finest qualities in terms of his offenses have been in the 4 year tenure or in the 4 years at Syracuse. And then you just kind of look through it and it's consistent. There's always that presence and they always find a way to succeed. And as I hit on right at the top of the segment, it's not always who you think it is. So it's something that I think is really good for a team that, you know, you lose that wide receiver one. You've now got five options and five guys that see, hey, these are guys that weren't necessarily the number one or major targets their junior year or their previous season, but they have been able to come out and step up and be that major guy for Syracuse in the past, which I think can help your receiving core in the future and I think will inspire guys to work harder and really put in the best reps they can in the offseason, because competition is the best way to get your offense and to get your team improving. So, and Dino Babers even said it in the press conference, no one's job is safe. And even though that was said in more of a negative light because of how the team is playing, when no one's job is safe because you can have competition, that's when teams can really thrive. And that's what I think Syracuse was so good at last season. And even though the 4-8 record in 2017, they were able to have that kind of that upward trend, even though it was the same record from 2016 to 17, it felt like 2017 was a much more successful season.
And going back to Custis real quick, Dino Babers has a way of just morphing the offense,
yeah,
not necessarily around the wide receiver one, but he finds their mm-hmm. strengths and he plays to it. I mean,
yeah.
Jamal Custis was not the best route runner on the planet.
Correct.
He's a 6'5", huge wide receiver, and he makes explosive plays. He had 9 games in 2018 where he had at least one 30-yard reception.
Wow.
Jamal Custis was a big play threat, and Dino Babers was able to take him as his wide receiver one, and maybe Custis didn't get all the receptions as a guy like Ishmael or Edetawo did, but he said, all right, go make big plays, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, he reminds me of DK Metcalf, who graduated or was drafted last season, very similar receivers. Metcalf is not a great route runner, but he's fast, he's athletic, and he catches the ball when it's thrown to him. And that's exactly what Custis was in his senior year. He was able to catch the balls thrown to him. And even though, as you said, he's not the most elusive guy, the most evasive guy, he's not running these incredible routes, he's a freak athlete. He's 6'5". He's going to get up. He's going to catch the ball over you. He's going to win those jump ball opportunities. And he's going to create long plays and first downs. As you said, 9 games with a 30-plus yard reception. It just kind of shows what a guy like Custis can do and what Dino Babers is able to do year in and year out with his number one guy, as you were saying. To tailor an offense around a receiver seems so obscure and so just dumbfounded to me. But it's what he's kind of done. He takes the quarterback he has at hand, plus pairing that with the number one receiver and the receiving core he has, and he really does tailor an offense, at least the passing game, around that receiver. And to the most part, it's worked, and you can tell in the numbers.
And that's what you have to do to be an effective coach. You can't have a system and make the players fit your system.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create a system that fits your players.
Yeah.
It's got to be that way. Because you can't put a square peg in a round hole.
Correct.
That's just not how it's going to work. But Dino Babers has been so effective. Jackson, Custis, Ishmael, Edetawo, very different receivers.
Yeah.
But they have all been consistently good. And it's because Dino Babers is able to create an offensive system that works for his guys. And it's not the other way around.
Yeah,
he doesn't go get guys that necessarily need to fit into his system, need to fit into this stereotypical wide receiver one, got to be 6'3", 200. He finds guys that are good wide receivers, and he makes the offense work for them.
And especially you're saying, so he can't go out and get players. He's still working with guys that he didn't recruit.
Right.
You've got to put that into perspective. These are guys that he did not, I'm not going to say he didn't want them, but there aren't guys that he went out and said, this guy's going to fit great in the offense we run. He's still working with the products that he was given when he arrived here at Syracuse, which kind of goes to show why he has to tailor a little bit. Maybe in the future he's going to be able to find a little bit more specific, but the best coaches in college football are going to tailor. They're going to work with what they have, and they're going to make the best out of it. And that's what Dino Babers needs to do year in and year out if he wants to be able to continue this wide receiver success and maybe turn the program around.
Syracuse at 3-4 on the season. Definitely not where they want to be, but if they continue the success with Tommy DeVito to Tristan Jackson, Tommy DeVito, Clayton Welch, whoever it may be at this point, Tristan Jackson is going to continue to be the focal point of this offense, especially if this offensive line keeps struggling, if the running game keeps struggling. But we've got this one positive. That's what we're looking at this week. It's the wide receiver, Tristan Jackson. Next up for Syracuse is a matchup at Florida State. That'll be on Saturday. Countdown to kickoff starts right here on WAER at 3 o'clock. Kickoff is set for 3:30. For Owen Valentine, I'm Brendan Mortensen. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.